Hi there, my name is Prakash Chandran, and this is a Pfizer podcast series. And today we're going to be getting to know obesity medicine expert, Dr. Louis Aronne. Dr. Aronne, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. So going back to just the work that you're doing, since it's so important to you, even in your personal life, I wanted to ask about maybe some professional advice that you've received that you feel like is the best you've ever heard. And I imagine that it might be this encouragement to continue on the path. But if there's anything else that you can share that you think the audience might benefit from, I'd love to hear it.
The most important thing I heard was from this physician back in 1989. And he told me to ignore what anyone else said. He said, "What you're telling me sounds exactly like what people said about me in 1958. So don't listen to anyone. You're on the right track. Keep going." And it, you know, coming from a legend in the field of medicine and chronic disease management, that was very motivating. And along the way, when you do this kind of thing, it's hard because people don't believe it. They don't want things to change. They don't believe they're going to change. And when you start this kind of thing, you don't have the proof that you need to change people's minds. And you just have to be very, very patient and say, you know, when the time comes, we'll know.
Now, let's find out more about optimizing background medications. Dr. Aronne, can you tell us about your experience treating Robert?
So, Robert, 43-year-old man who had a BMI of 48. He weighed 291 pounds, 5 feet, 5 inches. Came to see us originally in 2016. Has a complicated medical history, coronary artery disease. He had a myocardial infarction and 2 stents. Prediabetes, either diabetes or prediabetes is common in people with early coronary disease. He had nephrolithiasis, had history of kidney stones, and then had a remote history of seizures. After his MI, he stopped smoking, but then became depressed. He gained 85 pounds stopping smoking and is now at his highest weight ever. His current medications include aspirin, rosuvastatin, metoprolol, lisinopril, and paroxetine. And his hemoglobin A1C, 5.8% in the prediabetes range. When we see somebody like this, we look for opportunities to sophisticated medical management. So in evaluating Robert, one of the first things we did was to look at the medications he was taking and see if there's anything that could be changed before we started prescribing medications on our own or sending him for gastric bypass surgery. These were some of the changes that we made. He was taking metoprolol, and he was taking it because of the coronary disease as well as blood pressure. But carvedilol and nebivolol are beta blockers that have been shown to be associated with less weight gain than metoprolol. And even if the metoprolol wasn't associated with weight gain, it could prevent him from losing as much weight. So that was one discussion we had with his cardiologist, and he agreed to make that change. The second thing was the antidepressant. And paroxetine is known as a particularly strong weight gainer. It could be because of antihistaminic effects or others, but fluoxetine and sertraline, while they are associated with weight gain when used in the long run, longer than 1 year, they are associated with less weight gain. So we asked his doctor to switch from paroxetine to fluoxetine. So those were the first changes that we made. We could have asked him to switch over to bupropion. We use a lot of bupropion in our practice for people who are smoking, for smoking cessation as an antihistamine, and also for weight loss. As you may know, contrary to the prescription on label weight is a combination of bupropion and naltrexone. About 15% of the obesity epidemic, we've estimated, is from medication-induced weight gain. There are many categories of drug. I mean, sulfonylureas and insulins are probably the best described. you change the patient to GLP-1, an SGLT-2 inhibitor, you can get profound weight loss. In Robert's case, we made those first two changes and we prescribed metformin for him, which is unstable. But in patients with prediabetes, we are frequently using metformin as a first-line agent. He began losing weight. He lost an initial 10% of his body weight, went from 291 down to 262, a 29-pound loss. So that's pretty minimal intervention to get a 10% body weight loss. It also underscores the value of metformin, which, as you may have read, metformin stimulates the release of GDF-15 from the gut. GDF-15 has weight-losing effects, increasing satiety. So we're using sort of the primitive version of GDF-15. So in 2017, we decided to add liraglutide, which at that point was prescription agent for weight loss. It was covered by his insurance. And so you can see that he initially lost more weight, but then went through this period of plateauing and weight loss, weight regain. And here you can see it keeps hitting that same plateau. And you know, I believe that this is physiological. And until we have new agents, we can't really break through that. So he did okay until 2020. And at that point, we were able to switch from liraglutide, the short-acting GLP-1, to semaglutide, which was now available. And look at what happened. He almost doubled his weight loss by switching from lira, one GLP-1, to sema, another GLP-1. And I think that this emphasizes the profound difference between agents within a class, that these newer agents we're finding are far more effective than the older GLP-1s. But often from a patient's history, you can figure out where they're going to plateau, because where they plateaued a while ago. You know, so we'll ask people what their lowest adult weight has been the past 10 or 15 years, and sure enough, they'll get to that point. Now, this was true until the newer agents like sema became available, very potent GLP-1s, because now we're seeing that it's possible to break through that phenomenon and get people to the lowest weight they've been in a very long time. What you're seeing here is kind of a classic case of obesity medicine treatment, where you're able to get somebody to lose over 20% of their body weight with a medical regimen. And that is, I think, going to be the standard in the next couple of years. Both liraglutide and semaglutide have been associated with cardiovascular risk reduction. We're seeing cardiologists give these in this exact situation. They're putting in coronary artery disease as the indication, not diabetes, but coronary artery disease. And we're actually seeing coverage for it, which is new to us. So we think that the field, which started out in endocrinology, is maybe headed more towards cardiology because of the potential for cardiovascular risk reduction and the evidence that that's the case.
Thanks for sharing Robert's journey with us. A couple of the major takeaways here are the role of optimizing background medications and the potential benefits of a within-class switch for the GLP-1 RAs. In this next episode, you'll get more insight about the counter-regulatory response after weight loss and the role of combination therapy in obesity medicine. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pfizer Podcast Series. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.